Hello there, neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording right now as we speak at a little ranch house on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Believe it or not, this is show number 123, and it's June 14th, 2005. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with a blind in mind. Here's the host for the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey, and Mr. Tom, hasn't this year gone by quick, man?
Oh, man, the older you get, the faster they pass, I tell you that.
The middle of June, hard to believe.
That is my name, Tom Houston, but here he is, folks, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome.
Thank you so much. Bless your heart. It's just wonderful, wonderful to be here with you this afternoon on this hot 93 or so degrees outside in Texas.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We've come to the summer of 2005. Of 05 is here.
Uh-huh. And it's hot outside. Well, wait a minute. Officially, summer will not be here until next week.
That's right. On the 21st or 2nd?
I think whenever. So. Somewhere
21st,
around
21st, I think.
It's after Father's Day. I know that.
That's 21st is next Tuesday because I have a doctor's appointment that day.
The summer solstice, or it's the longest day of the year, and all that good stuff. Our longest daylight of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the longest daylight of the year. I mean, between the time the sun rises and sunsets.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's really funny because our hottest month is August, and actually we're going the other way.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
You know you're getting old when the longest day of the year goes by real quick.
It's going to go by quick for guys like us, I'll tell you that.
That is a thought.
Tom and I are just glad we survived another week, both of us.
Hey, you know, man.
It's been pretty tense. Anyway, what else is going on? That's about it.
The rent.
The rent,
stuff
that's
like
about
that.
It.
And hot weather. That's about
hot
it.
Hot weather. And we have a possibility, pardon me, of Don Patterson coming by and having a beer with us when we get through the show.
Oh,
today.
Man, I'm honored.
Boy, that'll be thrilling.
Yeah, a good possibility there, huh?
That'll really be a thrill.
I am honored. Don Pat, come on down.
Actually, coming by and never heard a show. thinking of coming by and actually visiting with us.
He's never listened to a show.
That's what he said.
True?
He said he's never heard the show. And
I knew he said that. I just thought he was lying.
Out of 122 shows that never heard we've previously done.
Never
surely
heard one.
To goodness he's heard one show.
I gave one to Emily, and he wouldn't let her listen to it.
You don't think that he listened to the anniversary show, the 100th show anniversary?
No. Says he didn't.
My goodness.
I doubt it.
Says he didn't.
Okay.
Never listened to a show.
He doesn't like to hear himself, I guess. That's
well.
A lot of people don't. I sound terrible when I listen to myself.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I don't like to listen. I mean, I listen to the shows, but it's just.
But I always sound dumb. I can't help it.
I've heard myself enough that I'm used to hearing myself on. I say dumb things, but, you know, we all do, I suppose.
Well, I just can't express myself on a microphone. I can express myself better in just sitting around a table.
You do
a
fine.
Few cold ones.
You do fine. We
but on
you.
A microphone, I just go haywire.
That's not true. You do.
I'm just not wired properly or something.
Well, maybe one day we will be sitting around a big table with microphones just drinking a cold one. And
that would be the way
talking.
To do it.
That's
I would be in my element.
What, in heaven, yeah. What, in heaven, engineer?
And not look at this big airplane I'm driving here.
Well, I run the board anytime
Boy,
you want.
Boy, I'm telling you, this is a big board.
I can run
sure
that.
Is.
If you ever have the opportunity to come to Lufkin and view the board that we do this show on.
But we don't use nearly all of it.
Oh, no. We just use a small portion of it, thank God.
Well, there are 32 inputs, and I figured the other day we used 12 of them.
That's it, huh?
Out of the 32. We used 12 out of the 32, possibly. Let's see, the two for the computer there, that's all you use down on that end.
Uh-huh.
And then the satellite is 4, and the phone is 5, and 6, 7, 8. You're only using 8 of them.
My goodness gracious.
And 8 out of 32.
Fourth of
and
the
to
board.
Me, that's complicated, so I can't imagine using all 32.
You're using 8
My
out
goodness.
Of 8 out of 32 is all you use.
8 out of 32. That'll be a song there.
So we need just a little 8-in board and a...
An 8-in board would do fine.
8 out of 32 ain't bad.
Well, we used, remember...
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Okay.
Remember when we used, when we had the lightning hit and we used that little 8-channel mixer?
Yeah.
Worked just fine.
Worked good, didn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly did.
Yeah. Holy crap. Anyway.
Yeah, it got us by.
All right, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, here we go. We have a 2-year-old riding Sears mower. This spring, there was a problem starting. So we charged the battery. Today they're mowing, and a couple of times the motor backfires.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't run. She's going to put a bit of dry gas in it. You know, that's dry gas. I've never heard of dry gas.
What is dry gas?
I have no idea. Dry gas? Well,
I don't know.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Don't say it. I know where you're going, but don't do it. Don't do it.
Does anyone have any other ideas before we call Sears?
Or Gordon, whichever comes first. We can present that to Gordon today.
Yeah. Gordon's going to be our guest today.
Yeah. So it won't start now, period.
No, it won't. It backfired, went dead, will not crank.
See, if it never cranked, we might have an answer.
Uh-huh.
But it just started, so...
Yeah, that's what seems kind of odd about it.
So they charged the battery, the thing cranked up, and it backfired, then it quit.
Well, we're in an area that I don't... You know a whole lot more about them than I do, Don.
Oh, boy, I don't know either. Know anything about
good, Gordon. I've got a lot more questions for Gordon today also, so maybe we can...
Well, we've got quite a little discussion going on the handyman list about Sears and Sears mowers. And,
yes, we did.
I forget who that guy is that got mad at me because I told him that I would never buy another mower from Sears, and I never will.
No more Sears lawnmower.
Well, I've got a maintenance agreement with Sears, and they came out to put a belt on my mower, which had come off three or four times. They've been out here half dozen times. I think they finally put a new belt on, but I said to the guy, we'd probably need to give this mower a tune-up. He said, well, that'll be another $189.
Whoa.
I didn't realize that my maintenance agreement didn't cover. You know, it doesn't make any difference if it runs. As long as the belt's on, if it runs, if it doesn't run, who cares?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it's no good if it doesn't run.
But he said that the maintenance agreement said that. Unfortunately, it wasn't on CD or disc or ASCII text or any place I could read the maintenance agreement.
Well, these maintenance agreements are strange anyway because, you know, I never buy a maintenance agreement for electronics, hardly ever. But I'd bought a little Nuvo, the little pocket player for audible books and
you
for
bought one.
Music.
Yep.
And I bought one, and God, what less than a week, had trouble with it.
Yeah.
So I took it back to Circuit City and exchanged it, no problem, because I hadn't had it very long. But I got to thinking, you know, I had problems with one of these just not working, because it just quit. I mean, just totally just quit working. I said, well, I usually don't buy a maintenance agreement, but I'll buy it this time. So I did. I bought the maintenance agreement for $30-something. The salesman, yeah, it'll cover everything. Just whatever happens, if you drop it, whatever happens, bring it back to us, and we'll exchange it. No questions asked.
The first digital camera we bought, which was probably 8 years ago, we bought a maintenance agreement. Or I bought it for her birthday, and you took me, Houston, to the store.
I sure did.
We bought it at CompUSA back when we had a CompUSA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I bought the maintenance agreement on it, and it got left in the bottom of the van, and the battery... That's Frankie Brown. That's Frankie Brown.
She sounds like she's gargling or
the
something.
The train just went by. Anyway, the battery thing got lost off of it, and they gave me a new camera.
Oh,
you were lucky, because that's what I was going to say. My little battery, a little thing that held the battery compartment door on, broke off.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't fix it. Turned out that the agreement wouldn't cover it, and they said only. Supposedly, the salesman said, for any reason, bring it back. They said for something like that it wouldn't cover it. So I ended up getting my money back for the maintenance agreement, which they did send back, but I canceled it. It wasn't, the damn thing wasn't worth the paper it was written on. So, yeah, I'm like
you. Maintenance agreement ought to cover everything. I mean, we'll put a belt on your mower, Mr. Parr, but it won't run. That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
And we're going to charge you $200 for tuning it up.
They ought to cover everything.
If they come out, it ought to cover everything.
I agree.
If it's a maintenance agreement, you know, what they're saying is it doesn't make any difference whether the lawn runs. The belt's on. It would mow if your lawnmower would run. The lawnmower would run. It just hadn't been tuned up in a while. And so I paid the guy. Luann said she would have protested. Let me tell you another real quick story. Kimberly and them just got back from Cancun. When they got through with their hotel, they realized they were charging them $3 a call. Now, she had a calling card, so the long-distance charge was cheap. They were charging those kids $3 a call, and they made 61 of them.
Goodness
gracious.
Wow.
Four kids in a dorm. Anyway, we're going to protest. We're going to contest that. It's on a credit card, so you can...
Okay. Anyway. Here's a guy that's got a planter along the wall where he has some antennas and tower sections stored. The neighbor waters so much, the water leaks under the wall, and the grass in this planter gets 2 feet or more high. I tried Roundup last winter, he says, and it seems to kill it for a while. We even used a weed eater on what we could, but now it is all back as though we hadn't done a thing. Any suggestions? I would like to find something that will kill the ground so nothing will grow there and the grass will die. Butch.
I saw the guy's response. You saw it,
yeah,
Charles, probably. Put some of that matting down and put some gravel over it. That'd be the cheapest way to, you know.
I saw that one.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, that'll end the...
Someone said pour diesel. Yeah, you know, you could pour...
Will diesel do it?
Fuel on it, and it would do... It'd kill it, and it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't come back. We got some Roundup. That was the other thing I was going to say, was Roundup might be a suggestion, but it will come, you know, if you use Roundup, though, it will eventually come back. So...
But just diesel. Wonder how long that would.
I don't know. Talk like that would do it for.
Well, that'd be cheaper if you decided to do it. But the thing to do would be put some of that matting stuff down and put some gravel on it. And you'd be done with it.
And you'd be done with it.
It would not happen anymore.
Over with, yes sir.
Plant,
yes
sir. Cactus in it or something.
Cactus. Got some tower section store. This guy must be a ham.
Ham radio operator.
Who
yeah.
is this, Tommy?
Oh, that's a guy named Butch Bussin.
But we've had him on.
Yeah.
Good guy. Good kid.
I think he is a satellite guy, maybe, that did the...
I bet he is.
Satellites or something?
Yeah.
Here's a guy, I bet he's young, because his question is, can someone please explain what a bracing bit is? I've been around tools most of my life, haven't heard of this one. Could there be another name for bracing bit?
No.
I don't think so.
A bracing bit is a hand drill. It has the one my daddy had a knob at the top, a big wooden knob. Then it had a not a curve thing, but it went over and then down and then back over to the main stem.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Is that you held it straight? That really be hard for a blind person to use. But my old daddy drilled hundreds of holes with this bracing bit.
Yeah, you kind of hold it and put a little pressure on it on top and just turn.
And turn it, and it'll crank that drill bit down through wherever you want to do it. But they'd be kind of hard for a blind person to use because you'd have to get them straight. They'd be hard for a blind person to keep straight.
It would have to be completely vertical.
Yes, sir, it would. All kinds. I'm sure there are blind people who used them for years before we got all these electric drills and stuff, and probably old guys that could tell you stories about them. But my daddy had one, and they were pretty effective at drilling. I mean, you could drill a hole with them.
Oh, yeah, you could drill a big hole with them.
Yeah.
They made a lot of big drill bits and things.
Yeah, different size bits, just like your electric drills have today.
Yeah.
Bit sort of to me, what I remember about them, looked kind of like an auger bit, sort of. I mean, they were like big, and you know,
some of them were huge.
Yeah.
Seemed like the top of them was square instead of being rounded. Wasn't it a square bit?
I think so. And they fit in the brace with the.
I guess it could have been. Some of them were round, though, too.
Can you still buy a bracing bit?
I have no
idea. I don't know.
At the hardware store.
If you had one, you'd have an antique.
Well, I should have got my daddy.
I've got one at the house, but
my daddy had one.
Oh, you've got one? Sean?
Sure do. Yeah, it belonged to my dad. It's
okay.
I'm going to ask Paul Abney.
In years.
Ask Paul Abney next time I'm up there if you can still buy bracing bits. Boy, that'd be a difficult way. God bless electric drill.
Oh yeah, man, it'd be a tough way to have to drill. Oh, these days.
Blind guy can kind of keep them fairly straight.
It would be like a post hole digger, you know, digging a hole, how tired you get.
Yeah.
Especially at my age now. But, my God, a bracing bit would wear you out today. I mean, it would wear you out. Get a good piece of hard wood and put a bracing bit
on it.
Start turning. Good luck.
You'd be there a while.
Seemed like, I guess my daddy didn't have an electric drill because there weren't any then, were there? Little electric.
You're right. And you're probably right.
I don't
remember
know
if there
having
were or not, but.
An electric drill. But if I was going to use a bracing bit, I'd take a drywall screw and tap the end of it with a hammer and put it in, have a pilot hole first. Because starting a hole with a bracing bit would be that'd be the problem.
Yeah, I can remember the end of the drill bit was like a screw. Had like a threads on it, like a screw.
Yeah, it did. You get it on your mark and start turning, and it would screw in like a screw.
Yeah.
Well, I'll check that out. See if they still make them. If you had one, show, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring it one day, and we'll talk about it.
We'll get some guy. Some guy will post on the list that swears by him. I wouldn't have an electric drill I'd drill my bracing bit for 100 years.
I guarantee there'll be
some old guy older than me.
Anyway, we know there's not another name for him.
No, as far as I know, there may be, but.
We settled that, I think. I don't know.
I've always called him bracing bit, and I don't know.
That's what I've always heard, too.
Time for one more here before we go to break. Okay.
Okay.
It says, hi, everybody. I lurk a lot, enjoying all the list info, but now I need some ideas.
Yeah.
We have these tie backs for the drapes, which go into hooks that use a cloth wrap that goes around them.
Yep.
My problem is that the hooks have worn out the holes they go into. Now, I think that it is plasterboard. So what can I do to refurbish the holes so they'll be tight again?
Now, it's plasterboard.
Go ahead.
Is he talking about sheetrock?
I don't know. Plasterboard, probably.
What is he talking about, Sean? What do you think?
I think so, too.
Well, there's all kind of things you could do.
His question is would something like wood putty work to fill the hole?
No, probably not.
Okay.
Could get a molly bolt and
I'd put a molly bolt in. I think they
or
make
at least the base of one.
They make hooks. I mean, they make molly bolts that have hooks that screw in them,
which is what he
needs.
They do. They sure do.
I'm fixed to have to do the same thing. I saw yesterday. I decided I wanted bacon and eggs for supper last night, and my wife likes to cook in an iron skillet, so I reached up to get the iron skillet. And I noticed that she had just driven a nail through the sheetrock, and there's going to be a big hole there. I've got to do something.
In a mobile home, let me tell you, a nail is worthless in the wall.
Would be, wouldn't it? But then she just drove a nail in sheetrock, and it's kind of hanging there, but when I took the skillet down, the nail fell out.
Of course, our mobile home's protected like a porcupine, you know, with all these nails sticking out on the other side.
There you go.
There is a positive side of that.
So I'm going to have to put a hook up there for it to hang her old skillet on, I guess. I took it down, the nail fell out on the counter.
Yeah.
Just a hole up there. I stuck the nail back in the hole, but the iron skillet I didn't put back up because it'll fall down on somebody.
I guess you could just get a box of hooks that had the right size threads for the molly bolt base that you had and just put any hooks into.
Yeah, but put a molly bolt in there. Molly bolt is, if you don't know, it's a deal that you make a hole the size of the molly bolt, you slip it through, then you hold it. It has little things that, little tips on it that go into the wall, and they anchor themselves on the sheetrock, and you turn it, and it leaves something there. When you take the screw out, there's a little thing there. There's a thing there with threads in it that you can screw things in.
Yep.
In your sheetrock. And that ought to hold your drapes back. I mean,
you would think so.
They're neat things to have, molly bolts.
Going to be a lot of pressure.
They're
and
great.
You can buy a box of them cheap. Just make sure you buy ones that are thick enough for sheetrock, because they make them, the little shank smaller, that'll just go through thin paneling.
Yeah.
And so make sure these are for sheetrock molly bolts. And there's all kind of anchors you can put in there. But drapes, it wouldn't be that big a deal to hold them back.
No, it wouldn't take, it wouldn't have to hold real good to hold drapes.
Well, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
You tell us who our guest is today.
I would like nothing better. Gordon Vick, that is my brother, my younger brother, I might add. He's going to be the guest today. We're going to talk about several things. I think Shaw has a lawnmower question. We have some fire safety questions.
Yeah.
And then we may have some pest control questions. And Gordon, he's a jack of all trades, and he's going to answer them for us.
All right. Yeah, back with more Gordon Vick and the Blind Handy Man in just a minute. Hang on. Blind Like Me list.
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Do you know about the Blind Handyman listserv?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman list, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list.
and it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, it's common knowledge that I got acquainted with Tom Houston Vick in probably 1973. He and I became friends and have been for 32 years. And a couple, three years ago, he introduced me to his younger brother.
My younger sibling.
Uh-huh. Who, of course, is our friend Gordon Vick, that we've had on many times. Sir, how is things in Chattanooga, wherever you are? Where are you?
I'm in Birmingham today, Phil.
Birmingham today.
And things are just wonderful.
Weather's good.
The things are going real good.
Weather's good. No chest pains.
No chest pains. The other day, you know, I don't want to brag, but I think my heart's in better shape than it's been in years.
Is that right?
I mean, I feel that good. So I'm very lucky. We got a pretty day, and everything's going good in business. So,
all right.
You know, those are rare days, you know.
Boy.
Well, my heart's in good shape.
How are you guys doing?
If I can keep getting blood to my heart, I'll be fine.
I understand, man.
Well, I'm just hoping mine just stays at a normal rate.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all are going to have to get straightened out there.
Well, maybe you need to come back out and straighten us out.
Buddy, I told Houston I'm going to have to do that because I sure miss you guys.
All right.
Certainly love to see you.
Yeah. I'd love to see y'all, too. And I'm glad to see that y'all are still working the Blind Handyman and doing a good job.
I told Howard the other day, my son-in-law's daddy, I told him the other day, I said, well, I've got a doctor's appointment. He said, well, I need to go back to Alabama. They got good doctors up there. I said, okay, Howard. That's where you need to be, all right.
There's good doctors everywhere.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Doctors are like mechanics.
I've been in Texas so long, when somebody says something against Texas, I get mad. I have been here since 1973, so I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere.
Hey, Phil, I believe you're rubbing off on him.
I think probably so. I've been here since 72, I think.
Oh, boy. What's going on today?
Well, have you ever watched a program on television called This Old House?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I stumbled across it. I don't know why we were watching TV on Saturday afternoon, but they did This Old House, and then they did a program called Ask This Old House.
Uh-huh.
And one of the questions they were talking about was fire safety. And I learned in this thing that they did, seminar that they did, that there are three different, they distinguish fires by three different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chemical fire, like you'd get with gasoline or grease or something like that.
That's correct.
There's the paper type, mm-hmm. where that would be paper products that would burn. Uh-huh. And I'll be damned if I can remember what the third one is.
Electrical.
You're right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And you use three different types of fire retardant to put them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that or use a multi-purpose.
Right.
Yes.
I also found out that fire extinguishers have a rating on the side of them, that all fire extinguishers are not created equal.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
You used to sell fire extinguishers, didn't you, at one time?
Yes, I did. I sure did. Fire extinguishers are rated, of course, A, B, and C.
Yeah.
You have an A-type extinguisher, which is really the best way to describe it is, remember the old water pressure?
Yeah.
Well, that was for paper, wood, and cloth.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then you had the B. You have a B in the fire extinguisher that is also rated for electrical. Then the C was for your gas, grease, oils, and so on and so forth. But they put numbers beside those letters because what those numbers did, they distinguished exactly what, you know, which rating was higher.
Yeah.
In other words, on a multi-purpose, you may only have a 2A rating, for instance, but you could buy water pressure, which would have a much higher rating than a 2A. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though it was still extinguished, three, you know, all three categories.
Yeah.
It wasn't the absolute best material for the job.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And but multi-purpose extinguishers serve a very good purpose because people don't know that, you know, they do rate them like that. But there's also other letters, but we won't talk about those. And there's other extinguishers.
But the thing to do would be, I mean, you're not, chances are, in the kitchen, you're not going to have a paper fire. What you're going to have in the kitchen would be a grease situation.
Mm-hmm. Which a BC extinguisher would be fine. And you could even go with carbon dioxide, CO2.
Of course, you could have an electrical fire in a new home.
Mm-hmm.
But chances are fairly good you're not. So I would think in the kitchen the thing to have would be one that would put out grease and oil and thing and
kitchen type things.
Kitchen type things, wouldn't you think?
But they classify the B and C in the same unit.
Okay.
So you would buy a BC extinguisher, which would be a sodium bicarb powder type substance, or it could be carbon dioxide. And, of course, there's others. There's, you know, that replace the halon that come with a BC rating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The hardest fire to extinguish is really paper, wood, and cloth. And it's because you can extinguish paper, wood, and cloth, turn around, walk out the door, and before you get out the door good, it'll be burning again because you have that deep-seated char effect.
Uh-huh.
So that's why an A-rated extinguisher A rating such as water does the very best.
In a paper wooden cloth fire.
Right.
But what you don't want to do is think, oh, I've got a fire. God, wonder what extinguisher I should use.
Right.
That's where you don't want to be.
That's why you go with the multi-purpose.
That's why. So in the kitchen, you'd want a multi-purpose.
Mm-hmm. Which is very highly rated for B and C, which is your electrical and gas, grease, and oils.
Uh-huh.
So it's very good for the kitchen.
But it doesn't do anything for paper, cloth, and wood.
No, it's not rated for it.
That's not rated.
It probably would do something for it, but it probably wouldn't extinguish if you had a very big fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So these people pointed out that most fires in homes start either in the kitchen or in the garage.
That is correct. They do.
So that is where you would need an extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd want to buy, I guess, one that rated as high and for as many types of fires as you could, or what?
Well, I would go with the ABC, which is the multi-purpose. Now, that rating those numbers get larger based on the size of the extinguisher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
As in our previous discussion on this, about a 5-pounder is about all a homeowner needs to fight with. If he can't put it out with that, he needs to get out of the house.
Get out. It's time to go.
He needs to be gone.
He needs to get out because, you know, it's not safe at that point.
A 5-pound extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need probably a couple of them, one in the garage. One around your work area and one in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or one at each exit. You can put one at each exit and put one in the garage. Definitely one in the kitchen.
That's another thing they pointed out, that a fire extinguisher should be close to the exit.
Right.
So that you would go toward the exit to get to it.
That is correct. By the time you get there, you may elect just to go on out the door.
Yeah, and just let it burn.
Right.
Let it roll.
Yeah.
You know, a house burns so fast, it's unbelievable. And there's so many toxic gases that are created because of all the different types of materials that you have burning within the home.
This day and time, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're not going to stay in there long.
A mobile home, too, I've heard goes really quick.
Yes. Who was that talking?
That's Don Shaw.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Mr. Gordon.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, doing good.
Good. Glad to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, there. You know, you can't stay in there very long, and of course, when it gets pretty thick, you're on the floor then trying to crawl out the door. Because, of course, heat rises and smoke, and, you know, you're trying to breathe.
Yeah.
So you have to be very quick about it. You can't, you don't have a long time to make a decision.
And so you don't want to be hunting just the right extinguisher. You want that multi-purpose.
That's right. That's right. You sure do.
Yeah.
Get on with it. You don't want the one with the Braille label on it. You've got to find that Braille label looking around there, poor blind schmuck.
I don't know. You guys amaze me so much. You probably get the water hose and put it out. Well, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but if you got an electrical fire, getting the water hose is absolutely what you don't
want. It's certainly a negative. You're right.
Or a grease fire in the kitchen.
Yeah, grease fire. Water won't help that, will it?
If you watch the fire department, the first thing they do when they come to a burning house is rip the meter off the wall, and that's to kill all the power.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then they can go in there with their big water hoses, you know, and extinguish. And they do that because they don't want to get barbecued themselves.
And that's the first thing you do is take the meter off the wall.
That's
so
right.
So there is no electricity. Yeah.
That's right. They take it off the wall, and then they take their axes and chop your house down.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, hopefully these things won't happen to people, but you ought to be kind of protected. I think I'm going to get one for the... I need one for the studio, probably one for the studio, one for the shop, and one in the kitchen in the house.
Yeah, and you know, Phil, you can buy them right out of Lowe's or Home Depot or Walmart. And they sell just about any size that the homeowner could use. And they sell them with the ratings that you need.
And usually a bracket if you want to hang it on the wall someplace.
It comes with a little wall bracket.
That you can just put some screws in the wall and hang it up there.
That's correct. Right. Now, they're not attractive by any means unless you have a fire and then they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd want to know where that was if you...
Absolutely.
If you, because anybody cooks is eventually going to have a little grease fire.
Right. And you need to, while you're down there buying those fire extinguishers, you need to purchase you some smoke detectors.
Yeah.
Because if you're on the couch asleep when the fire breaks out, what's going to wake you up?
Yeah, you need smoke detectors.
Yeah,
I need one of
something
detectors
that will wake you up so you can get that fire extinguisher. You know, smoke detectors are wonderful because they actually let you know if there's a problem long before it's a major problem.
Yep.
And
I remember when if the smoke detector didn't go off, I didn't really feel like I'd cooked anything.
Well, you know, that's true. Especially people who put them in the wrong places.
Back when I was single, I just didn't really think I'd done a good job unless the smoke detector went off.
My wife cooks very, not very much anymore. I do most of the cooking at the house. But when she does cook, she tries to cook faster than me.
Yeah.
And, she set the smoke detectors off several times.
Yeah, that'll do it, won't it?
And it scares the heck out of Jamie, my youngest granddaughter, 5 years old.
I imagine.
I mean, when she hears the smoke detector, she just runs, goodness gracious. I said, well, that's the thing to do. Get out of here when you hear it.
That's right.
Hit the first exit you come to.
So, Gordon, if someone knows exactly what kind of fire extinguisher they're going to need for their fire,
mm-hmm.
They're probably setting it themselves. Is that right?
Well, pretty much so. Or you can just pick up an extinguisher and read the label on it. It's labeled real well.
Well, now, you've been in my house.
Uh-huh.
What, did you look at my extinguisher there?
You know, Houston, to be honest, I did not.
I have no idea what it is.
No, I did not.
But I will now.
Yeah.
You'll take a look at it, huh?
I'll
will
now.
It doesn't hurt you to have that extinguisher checked every once in a while, either.
That's right. And your alarms, also.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt because dry chemical fire extinguishers have a tendency to leak down. And if they lose their nitrogen charge, then you're not going to get the chemical agent out to fight a fire. So you need to make sure that gauge is standing there where it's supposed to be in the green.
Yeah.
And make sure it's working properly.
Well, OSHA ought to make fire extinguisher manufacturers label them in Braille.
You know, I sort of agree with you. I really do.
Well, if you couldn't see, you would agree with me.
Yeah.
I mean, they label bathrooms.
You have as much right to read the label as I do.
Well, I have to be to the bathroom before I can read men's room.
No. Okay.
I have to be there. That's kind of stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
That's ridiculous. But if I'm at the men's room, I know it's the men's room. I can hear noises that alert me to the fact that this is the... And there's a Braille label there.
Right.
So if they want to help us, they ought to put fire extinguisher. Anyway.
Yeah. I'll agree with you.
All right.
You're privileged to the label information, too.
I would hope so. Now, we have other questions for you.
Okay.
I
just hope I can answer them.
Oh, well, that's what we depend on you for things
like that. That's right. We sure do.
Go ahead, Joe.
Now, I have a Gordon, when you've been on the show in the past before, one of the times you've been on, we have talked about, you've talked to us about lawnmower maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keeping that lawnmower and those weed eaters going.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question for you. I have been taking some of your advice and been trying to watch the old lawnmower a little bit closer.
Good.
And I have a Sears Craftsman 6.5-horse big wheel self-propelled lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
And this will be the third summer that I've had it running. And uh-huh. It's running fine. I've been good about changing the oil. I've changed the oil, I don't know, 2 or 3 times since I've had it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I've noticed just this year, in fact, last time I cut the grass, it's doing something that's kind of strange. And I'm wondering what you think, if it might be the spark plug, the air filter. I'll tell you what it's doing.
Okay.
It's running fine when you're just going along mowing. Self-propels fine. The motor sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Problem is, when you throttle down to an idle,
mm-hmm.
then it misses. Just every once in a while you can hear it miss. But it's only when it's idling.
Only when it's idling.
Only when it's idling. If you're mowing along and you hit some high grass, you know, and the motor picks up,
uh-huh.
it's running fine. Doesn't miss anything. Only on an idle.
Gee, you're talking, you know, if I had the mower here, I could tell you what it was. But it could be a number of things. Have you hit any rocks or anything with it?
No.
You haven't hit any, but you've been using it 3 years.
Oh, yeah. This is the third summer.
Third summer.
And the problem just started, like this year.
Uh-huh.
And it's not bad. I mean, it's not running that. I can just hear it missing a little in idle.
Have you changed the plug?
No. Never have.
That's what I'd start with.
Start with the plug, okay.
Start with the plug. It could be a partially sheared flywheel key, and the timing is off just a little bit. And that would cause it.
Yeah. How about the air filter? I think it's got some type of paper filter, but I've never even looked at the filter.
Well, now, you've told me that you've been putting maintenance on this thing.
Well, changing the oil and the blade.
The air filter being stopped up, what that does is actually, it runs as if the choke is on. In other words, it overfuels.
That's not the problem, then.
Okay. If you're overfueling, you'll get a lot of black smoke.
That's not the problem.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know without seeing the mower. It could be an air leak from the fuel.
I'll try the plug.
Yeah,
try
your plug. It may be breaking down on you a little bit.
Oh, really?
At a high speed, it doesn't matter.
I'll try that first thing.
But changing the air filter wouldn't be a bad idea anyway, would it?
Mm-mm. No, you should change that once a year anyway.
Oh, man. Well, it's time then, isn't it? It's definitely time to change.
After 3 years, I guess.
Yeah, a spark plug is something that is great when it works, but it's horrible when it don't work. But, yeah, I just changed my plug and try it and see if it idles a little better. You couldn't have any water in your fuel, could you? No, if you had water, you'd do it at high speed.
I keep it in a building and all the time. And when I start it, man, it starts first pull. I mean, it starts really easy. So.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. A buddy of mine just came from Texas. His son-in-law lives out in Texas somewhere. And while he was out there, his son-in-law gave him a lawnmower. It's identical to the one you just described.
Yeah.
His son-in-law told him, he said, it's hard as the devil to start. And he said, this year it won't start at all.
Man.
So my buddy got back and he called me over there and he said, I want you to fix it for me. So I went over there. And, of course, the carburetor was bad on it. It's got one of them throwaway carburetors, so we had to go buy a carburetor. But the reason it wouldn't start is because it had a blown head gasket. That was making it hard to start. It was leaking. And, of course, we fixed the head gasket, and it cranks the first time you pull it every time. And he got the lawnmower for nothing, and he had to buy a couple of little parts for it, and everything's lovely.
Sounds like a fine deal to me.
Oh, yeah. And that lawnmower was 3 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
And how would a lawnmower blow a head gasket?
Actually, the bolts vibrate loose on it, and it begins to leak. And when it leaks, and you get the lower compression, it doesn't start very easy. But when it's running, it'll run.
Yeah.
And so that's what his problem was.
this one still must be in good shape then for a start, because, man, first pull, I mean,
it
just...
Yeah, well, his wheel now. I mean, it just cranks right up.
I wouldn't worry about it. If it starts first pull, Shaw, good
it
God.
It does. It starts first pull every time.
I've never had any of those engines that started first pull.
It's always right out of the box, man. It's always started really well.
Well, you know, unless something's wrong with one of them, they'll start on the first or second pull anyway. You choke it on the first one, and it cranks on the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that bulb choke.
Yeah. Yeah, that bulb choke is something that is not too swift, because you can't replace that little bulb you push in.
Yeah.
You have to buy the entire carburetor.
Oh, man. Well, that's good to know.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah, that's not
And its Sears are $65, in case you need to know.
That figures. I hope I never need to know that.
Oh. Yeah, and the lawnmower was $150, right?
No, those lawnmowers are around $300.
Yeah, around $3.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're good lawnmowers. It's worth the price of a carburetor.
So yeah. They figure you're going to buy a unit for a $300 lawnmower in 3 years, you're going to buy a carburetor. They got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If that's not going bad, you know. Do you know, Phil, you can't even adjust the carburetors on them. They come preset.
Really?
And that's, listening to Shaw there, his mower did not idle just right.
Yeah.
Because that carburetor is set at the manufacturer, and that's where it stays. Now, I noticed an older one like his, it did have an adjustable jet. So that may be some of your problem.
Because you used to could adjust them back in the old days.
And you might can adjust yours. I don't know. 3 years old, you probably can. But nowadays, you can't.
The new ones come factory set, and you put the carburetor on, and the fuel-to-air mixture is set, and
you
can't change it.
Yeah, you're done.
I'll look and see if it's got some set screws on it, around it somewhere.
They must have thought of that idea for the homeowner to replace their own carburetor.
Yeah, where you can. I mean, how hard is it to do?
Oh, it's two bolts and you know, a couple. It's got a spring and a piece of linkage, and that's about it.
And then they've sold you a $65 carburetor.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. They're getting labor and material.
So they've got some reason for doing that. I mean, there's it's to their advantage. I guarantee you, it ain't for you.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Sears, most of their mowers, that motor is a Tecumseh.
Yeah.
And it's made in Dunlap, Tennessee, believe it or not far from me.
Really?
Yeah. They employ a lot of folks.
Well, there aren't very many. Briggs & Stratton and Tecumseh, there aren't very many people who make those kinds of engines, are there?
Well, you got Wisconsin and Kohler and Briggs and...
I guess they're more than I thought.
Yeah. And your Wisconsin and Kohler engines are used in industrial and commercial equipment.
Oil field equipment and stuff.
Yeah. If you ever buy more with one of those engines on it... You can't wear it out if you keep the oil change. You cannot.
Really?
No, they're made to run all day long, 24 hours a day, if necessary.
If that's what you want to run.
Right.
So that'd be what your generator would have in it.
Right, right.
Which
they have the sleeve cylinders and all that stuff.
Which is another thing I've been thinking about doing, buying a generator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really have. Just
to power your home?
Well, to power probably this building.
I see.
Probably, I don't know why. I guess because I don't have one.
What wattage would you need?
I don't know. What would I need?
I'd have to figure your load.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well?
You can figure the load on it and determine what you need.
That'd be another reason you'd have to come to Texas, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I know where a Greyhound leaves out of Birmingham.
Need somebody to do that for me? You wouldn't want me to have to pay somebody. You'd want to come down and fix
it. Well, we could figure your load. You could do that yourself.
Well, my kitchen light's working fine, I'll tell you that.
Oh, is it? Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
glad to hear that.
And then my son looked at what you did and changed another one for me. Put another one of those kind of ballasts on the back porch light.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And it's bright. Boy, the first night she said, I've got to turn that off. That's just, I can't sleep with that on. So.
Hey, did Thomas tell you that I have a new granddaughter?
No.
She was born 6 weeks premature. She weighed 4 pounds, 6.5 ounces.
I didn't tell you guys that.
You did not.
My goodness gracious. I thought I told everybody.
Which child is
that? That is my very first granddaughter. It's my oldest son. And
Gordon Jr.
Yeah. Today, she was weighed, and she weighs 7 pounds, 11 ounces.
Hey,
is that right?
And doing fine. But she's got a temperament you wouldn't believe. But she is beautiful. And we're so proud of her.
That's your first granddaughter?
Yeah, I have a grandson.
Yeah.
But that's my first granddaughter. I need to say she's already rotten.
Well, your grandson was your grandson with you when y'all came, that when the whole family came that time?
Yes. He's with me today in Birmingham.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, he follows Poppy around everywhere I go.
Is that right?
He had me up till midnight last night playing.
That's your daughter's child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was with you, so her...
Yeah.
But this is your first granddaughter.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Mine just got back from Cancun, and she informed me that she got drunk 3 out of 5 nights.
Yeah.
And she's 18 years old. What could I say?
My kind of girl.
She took...
Yeah, what a deal.
I gave her my credit card, and she had a pile of money.
Yeah.
And I gave her my credit card, and I said, now, baby girl, this is only for emergencies. Well, her thinking about an emergency is certainly different than mine.
Yeah, very much so, I'm sure.
Her emergency is if you're out of money at 10:30 and the bar is still open, that's an emergency.
Yeah.
It sure was a lot of money put on my credit card, I'll
tell
you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, y'all are nuts.
Listen just a minute, Phil, before we get away from lawnmowers.
Yeah, go ahead.
We had a listmail, Gordon, that was talking about a lawnmower problem.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to read it to you and see what your comments are. Okay.
Okay.
This guy has a 2-year-old riding Sears mower.
Uh-huh.
This spring there was a problem starting, so we charged the battery. Today they're mowing, and a couple of times the motor backfires. Now it doesn't run. And she's going to put a bit of, and I've never heard of this, dry gas in it.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any ideas before we call Sears? Is that enough information?
No, not really. I need to know which engine. If it's that old V-twin Briggs they put on them.
Well,
I need to know which engine it is. That would help me more than anything.
So we're limited on that. So that's all the information I have. How about a general answer?
Well, a general answer would be they left fuel in it all winter long, and they're having some fueling problems.
Well, have you ever heard of dry gas? We were talking about that earlier. I never have.
No, I've never heard of dry gas, but I've heard of raw gas, you know, where it actually goes bad in the tank.
Yeah.
See, you have on those larger riding lawnmowers, they have float-type carburetors on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that stem, the actual needle valve, when that float goes downward, it's one thing. It allows fuel to pour in there. But when it rises up and can't drop back down because it's gummed up, then that shuts the fuel off, period.
It works similar to the float in your commode.
Right. And that happens a lot when you allow gas to set in one over the winter.
Okay.
There are some additives, which we talked about once before, that you can put in there. But the best thing to do is run all your gas out and then start fresh, you know, in the spring.
Gaskets and things, though, in the carburetor. What do you think about gaskets and things drying out, though, if you leave the carburetor empty over the winter?
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
There's nothing there that is going to bother.
Really?
I guarantee you one thing. I'm going to do a search on Google on dry gas. I've never heard of it.
Well, I hadn't either. I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't either. What would it be? It'd be some kind of powdered... add water to it.
Good for the carburetor.
Powder in this thing.
It wouldn't be any good.
Yeah.
But he could try some kind of carburetor cleaner before he does anything.
Yeah.
That might work.
That's true. That's true. But... you know, just sitting over winter with fuel in them is just not a healthy program.
Is there? I know when a car backfires, a lot of time it means out of time. Could that have anything to do with a lawnmower?
Well, lawnmowers can get out of time. Of course, you know, the flywheel key is what keeps them in time. If you ever partially shear that key or something, you're advancing the timing. And, yes, it can cause some problems. If you shear it completely off, it will not run. It'll shut off and quit.
Okay.
And
that may help the guy out right there.
If you remember, in the old days, they put shear pins on the blade.
Yeah.
And that's so that those pins would shear as opposed to the flywheel key shearing.
You don't want to bend the shaft.
Right.
And if the shear pins are there, you can't because they'll shear.
Well, you know, they came out with cast iron flywheels, and then they were on every mower, even with a blade. And then they discovered they could make them out of aluminum. And, of course, that eliminated a lot of that. And they throw away the shear pin keys, you know. And so they just put it on there with a big washer and a bolt and a couple of permanent pins sticking down. So, but they've come a long way with lawnmowers, but a lot of it is disposable.
Yeah.
You buy a lawnmower. You used to buy one for $29.95. Now I think it's about $99.95.
$99.95.
That's the cheapest one. I totally ran. We ought to just buy a $100 lawnmower every year and throw it away.
Yeah, or use it 2 years, maybe.
Yeah, you might get 2 years out of it. I think there may be one sitting out under my shed right now, one of those $100. She went to Sears.
Yeah, and it probably served you well.
I don't get involved much with lawn maintenance. That's somebody else's job.
Right.
I change light bulbs.
If you want to hear a story, get Houston to tell you about he and I when we were about 12, 13 years old mowing yards.
Oh, yes, we did.
Now that's a real story.
We had one of those Briggs & Stratton mowers that had the little shear pins you were talking about in it, remember?
Yes, I do.
And we had a Toro. Remember the Toro?
Yeah,
I love that lawnmower. That Toro was a good one.
Toro. I've heard of those.
Well, did you have Houston walking behind the lawnmower pushing it?
Well, yeah. He did sometimes. Sometimes I set him on the lawnmower, and I pushed him.
Is that right?
That's right. And we'd get there, and I'd mow a while, and he'd mow a while.
Yeah, we just took turns and split the money.
We took turns and got our money and left. I mean, we'd mow 2-3 acres for $5.
We even walked a long way to get to the job.
Yeah, and have to walk 5 miles to get there.
Pushing the lawnmower down the street.
It's kind of like selling the watermelons, you know, buying them for $1 a piece. I mean, buying 2 for $1. Sell them 50 cents a piece.
Yeah. Was that kind of deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wanted to make more money, so we bought a bigger truck.
Yeah. Yeah. And we couldn't make $5 a day if our life depended on it.
Well, that's
businessmen we were. I'll
that's a story
you.
I'd never heard. Thomas Houston.
You need to get him to tell you about some of those old stories he and I've been through.
Well, we got to go, sir, but you need to come see us for long.
Well, you know, I want to very much, and I'm planning to do that, and I'll do it, and we'll figure the load on your garage.
Understand you got a new truck. To ride around.
Yeah, I got a new truck, but I still don't want to drive out there.
It's a long way, isn't it?
It's a long way, sure is.
Get on that bus and go to sleep, and we'll come and fetch you.
It's wonderful. Hey, y'all keep up the good work, and thank you for doing it.
Well, thank you for being our guest, sir.
We're going to get you back here pretty soon and talk pest control, okay?
Okay, buddy. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you, sir. Back in just a second.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
More of the Blind Handyman. Hang on.
Can't stop a river when it's burst its banks. I've seen the look in his eyes.
Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, after talking with Gordon there and getting some good info, by the way, on those lawnmowers, I think I will be going to the local auto parts store here tomorrow and buying a new spark plug. Put in that lawnmower because kind of let go. I don't really think it's the air filter because our lawn is all grass, not a lot of dirt and sand and stuff around. So I have checked the air filter and it had been cleaned before this year. So I'm going with the spark plug idea. That may
be. If you only have that occasional miss and idle, won't you just leave it alone?
I could probably get through this year just fine, and maybe. Yeah. replace it even next year, it's no real big deal because 99% of the time you're not idling anyway.
That's right.
For the lawnmower, unless
you're mowing,
pushing it through the gate or something, it'd be the only time you'd have it on idle anyway. So,
yeah.
But it's been a good mower so far. Knock on wood here or
knock
something, but
there.
it's been a good one.
That Gordon just knows all kinds of stuff, doesn't he? We were going to talk about pest control and should have.
We need to do that. We need to come back and do that. Fleas. This would be a good time of year to talk about fleas and things like that.
You do your own with your pump sprayer, right?
Yeah.
I've got a pump sprayer. I need to start doing it. It'd be a whole lot cheaper, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd probably save a dollar or two.
Probably
yeah.
save a dollar or two. Well, I'm all for that. I can spend it on the compressors and other things.
Yeah.
All right, Don Shaw. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thanks
for coming and being with us. And
have wrapped it up again.
Thomas Houston Vic.
Yes, sir.
Gordon Vic's, Gordon Vic's big brother.
That's me.
That'd be you.
Yeah.
We've done another one, 123, on the 14th day of the month of June. Year of our Lord, 2005. We'll see you next week. If you're listening on ACB Radio, stay tuned for Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr, as he said to Blind Man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.